Recapping the weekend in sports and previewing the week ahead. This is FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Erwig and Corey LaBounty.
And welcome in FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night. Dalton Erwig and Corey LaBounty with you on this Monday night. Sad Monday night, obviously, for the reasons that we've been discussing on this radio station all day today and all last week. And hope you're able to safely self-quarantine out there if that's what's being asked of you. And if not, I hope you're able to safely get to work and back and get those hours that I'm sure you, like so many others, need to pay those bills that never seem to cease. So good luck to everyone out there. And as to kind of get away from the doom and gloom of all the coronavirus talk, even in Feinbaum these last 4 hours, it's been a lot of sad talks around coronavirus. We're going to try to talk a little bit more about the positive side of things, but we also have to address some of the negative consequences with so many sports being canceled. And I'm very excited to talk to a good friend of mine. We went to South Alabama together. He's been on this show multiple times, and he was getting ready to call games in the Sun Belt Conference tournament for both the men and women South Alabama Jaguars. Unfortunately, we know that he was not able to call those games, but JT Crabtree, the radio voice of the South Alabama basketball, softball, and football teams, joining us tonight on this sportsless Monday night. JT, how you doing?
I'm good, man. You know, I'd like to be talking some March Madness, but you know, it is what it is, so it's not all too bad.
Yeah, you can only play the hand that you're dealt, and unfortunately for South Alabama athletics as a whole, it was a particularly tough year to get this news, and with the Sun Belt Conference tournaments being canceled, it was right when both teams were getting hot. And were you already in New Orleans when you had heard that the conference tournaments were canceled?
Fortunately, I hadn't left yet, and actually none of our teams had left. Our women's team was coming from Dallas after beating UTA on Wednesday night, and they're getting ready to, they're on their way to New Orleans when they actually got the call. But I was fortunately still in Mobile, but yeah, it's some tough times, man. Some tough breaks.
Definitely a tough break. I mean, you're looking at both the men and women's basketball programs really turning the corner. The men on a hot streak, probably one of the hottest basketball teams in the country. And what is supposed to be March Madness has turned into March Sadness for both the men and women's basketball teams. We know a year ago the women's team made it all the way to the finals and had an opportunity now to qualify and won two games in a row. And they did so on Texas Arlington's home floor, so they were playing with a lot of momentum as well. So you just hate to see that, and I know it just changes not only the players' mentalities but the coaches' mentalities, because it affects not only the ability to play but the ability to go and recruit and to have recruits on campus as well.
Oh, 100%. I mean, the timing for both teams couldn't have been worse. I mean, yes, obviously you'd love to be playing these games, but what I hate for more, and I'm so glad I'm not in coaching, is having to tell those kids, hey, you had a great year, it's done, we can't do anything about it. And especially those seniors who, you know, potentially could have played their last basketball ever. For the men's side, there's so many great guys. For the women's team, there were some really good ones. Shafour Ukines and Kennedy Centers were huge contributors for women's basketball. So some tough times. You mentioned, Corey, that winning streak by the men's team, gosh, it was fun. Eight games, longest in several years, going all the way to the two seed. And, you know, we had so much preseason hype being the preseason favorite and kind of stumbled out of the gates a little bit. But we really started to see glimpses of what Richie Riley's squad could really do down the stretch. And unfortunately, we can't see how far they could have gone. And that women's team was, If you've been to a game, if you see them on social media, they're fun to watch. They're fun to be around. They're fun people. It's so easy to cheer for them. And a group that's been so together, like you said, last year they made a tournament run, went all the way to the championship game, won five games in 6 days or something crazy like that. It looked like they were poised to do that again, and it just stinks that it ended the way that it did.
What were the reactions? I know you weren't there immediately when the news was made, because you just said, you know, neither team had left for New Orleans and you hadn't been on the road yet. But what reactions did you see afterwards from the teams once that news came out?
It kind of just flat out shocked. I mean, my reaction was confusion. We started seeing the dominoes fall, and I'm talking with my color commentator, Jim McNulty, and said, right, well, it looks like we're not going to play with fans in the Smoothie King Center. All right, it looks like we're not going to be playing the tournament at all. All right, it looks like we're not playing any sports at all for the rest of the semester.
Right.
Obviously, we've never been in a situation like this before, and it's been very strange for the players. I know Antoinette Lewis was voicing maybe a little bit of, I guess, anger, you could call it.
Yeah.
He was pretty heated on Twitter, but rightfully so. I mean, you've got months and months of work put into all this, and then just out of the blue, snap of a finger, just all gone. So for the most part, it's anger, it's confusion. I know Herb McGee is really bummed out because he's a guy for the men's team that had been around through all the bad of the last couple of years with men's basketball. And he really just wanted a chance to win, and it was right there for him. And now it's not looking like he's going to get a chance.
Yeah, and you mentioned the seniors. I mean, Ajay and Kynes in particular, they were having some outstanding senior seasons, and who knows what their future holds. Maybe they'll be able to make it in the NBA, but for their senior years to come to a close like that, when they were both leading their teams respectively, that's ultra tough for the seniors.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, you know, it's a tight-knit group on both teams, for the men and the women. Kynes was the heart and soul of that team. I mean, and you could see what she did the last couple of games. She had 28 points now in her, what you can call her last game as a Jaguar. She had 28 points, was hitting threes left and right. She even channeled her inner Kennedy Centers and drew a charge against them. So, I mean, they were playing some good ball, and they were having fun, and the atmosphere, the excitement that was around the men's team climbing the standings, making it to the 2 seed, and potentially, I mean, this was one of the hottest teams in the country. It was easily the hottest team in the Sun Belt. Without a doubt, I think if we had played those 2 games in the Sun Belt Conference Tournament, one would have been a rematch against Texas State. That would have been this past Saturday. And then you've got either Georgia Southern or Little Rock, which are the Jags went undefeated. Well, no, the Jags went 2 of... I can't think right now.
Right, yeah. But, I mean...
3 of 4 against Georgia Southern and Little Rock. But the chances are pretty darn good that you make it to the NCAA tournament. And so it's disappointing for sure. You know, it's that what could have been, and you hate that it's such a weird situation where you can't just say, oh, you know, we'll pick it up in a couple of months. No, the school year is going to be over. We can't do that, so we'll never know what could have happened.
I think, you know, worst case scenario, South Alabama looking at a record of 20-11, they would have had a postseason berth, which is something that they had not had for several years. I think Coach Arrow, maybe in 2008, 2009, was the last, if I'm not mistaken, last postseason performance, whether it be NIT or the NCAA tournament, that South Alabama had an opportunity to participate in. But when you start talking about the fluidity of how everything changes, you go from, all right, well, we're going to play the game, but we're going to do it in an empty arena, all right? And now we're going to go from playing in an empty arena, which everybody could probably have lived with because the fact that they would have been able to truly declare a champion, to where now we're going to postpone it. And we go from postponement to cancellation, and then it goes to all Sun Belt activities, whether it be your winter sports or your spring sports, being put on hold. I think that's where the absolute heartbreak goes into it as well, because softball and baseball had just gotten started. They haven't even gotten to a point to where they had reached over 12 or 13 games into their season, and it's put on hold.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's been crazy, and I think if the Jags had not made it to the NCAA tournament for the men's side, we would have played in something either like the CIT or the CBI. I'm pretty sure that was almost a done deal. So we would have been going somewhere. But baseball and softball, I mean, softball season had just started their conference slate last weekend. baseball was going to start this coming weekend. So it was it's a weird blow, and I can't imagine being the being a head coach having to tell your kids, hey, you know, great job in the fall, but we're done, pack it up. And something that I didn't get clarified until Saturday was that not only is your season done, but now because campus is closed for students until April 20th, these kids have to get off campus. So if you're living on campus with your teammates, you're not going to see them again until maybe the end of the semester. And that's a hard blow, man, to go from living with your teammates from August till now, and now you can't see them for a month and a half. That's tough.
Yeah, and I think that's probably why we saw the cascade of cancellations on the collegiate level, just because it's going to be so difficult to get the teams together in practice. And you know, I do want to go into more detail about the spring sports and also what we might be looking at for football. Can you hang over the next break with us, JT?
Absolutely.
And one more question before we do hit the break: what was your plan for calling the game without fans? I know you were thinking about it because they made that announcement way early, but you were about to be calling a game without fans in the arena. Were you going to, I don't know how it's possible, show more emotion than you were already showing in the game to game, or what was your plan?
We talked about it, and actually a coworker of mine, Greg Keel, said that we should call like a 5-minute run, kind of like how Gary Thorne called that Baltimore Orioles game a couple years ago when they had no fans.
Yeah.
We should just sit here and whisper and talk about the green jacket and put it through and make it nice and easy for a little bit. Then we'll go into the emotion.
Oh, man. That would have been something to behold. I just wish we would have gotten that opportunity. We're talking with JT Crabtree, voice of the South Alabama Jaguars, basketball, softball, football, heck, pretty much anything. And we'll get into the spring sports, baseball, softball, what the cancellation of championships mean for them, and also the construction of the new stadium. What are they going to do there on the campus of South Alabama? More Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5 on the way.
Breaking down the big games and talking about the big names, you're listening to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night. Dalton Orwig and Corey LeBounty with you. And joined by JT Crabtree. You can follow him on Twitter at JT Crabtree USA. And he, like so many in the sports world, have a little bit more extra time on their hands now with all the coronavirus postponements and cancellations. And I was going to kind of poll the room what everyone's decided to do with some of their time. I know, and a lot of people on the Feinbaum show said that they've been watching that SEC 150. I think it's called 150, but the history of the SEC on ESPN's app.
Yeah, I mean, that is a great show. I finished that up this weekend. All eight episodes are spectacular.
Yeah.
Saturday's Down South. It gives you a history of, I mean, a history lesson. I learned things that I could not have known before.
Really?
So they did a wonderful job of presenting SEC football and the history of it.
I know a lot of people are going to binge Breaking Bad and all these, the millions of shows that us sports fans never had time to watch. That's what I'm heading for, is the college football. I know, JT, following you on Twitter, you've been playing a few of these sports games with no sports on. I saw on Twitter you had your all-time lineup in baseball if you absolutely had to win a game. That was a fun one I saw you playing.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of it back off the top of my head. It was Ricky Henderson, Pete Rose, Hank Aaron, Ted Williams, Mike Schmidt, Stan Musial, Yogi Berra, the Wizard of Oz, and Greg Maddux pitching.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you put enough sports journalists without sports and everybody puts their heads together, they could probably come up with some pretty amazing things, some pretty big breakthroughs in like the world of science or whatever. I don't know, but we do have a lot of time on our hands now without sports. We were talking basketball a lot in that last segment. I do want to kind of pivot to the spring sports in just a second, but it was all doom and gloom around the basketball teams, and I didn't want to leave it like that, JT. Let's talk just a little bit about the future of the men's program. We'll be heading into year three coming up, I think, under Richie Riley, and they finished second in the conference this year. I mean, where do they go from here? Should only be up from here, right?
It should be, man. And you lose guys like Herb McGee, Trey Mitchell, Josh Ajayi, Andre Fox, some big name guys. John Petway, maybe. We don't know if he's coming back yet. He's been people may have noticed he was honored during Senior Day And that's because Richie Riley has given him the option to come back next year if he wants to. He's a redshirt junior, but he's majoring in IT. He's pretty much got his life planned out. He knows what he wants to do, what kind of job he wants, where he wants it. And basketball is kind of secondary to him. And Richie Riley has said, you know what, we want you back, but if you don't want to come back and you want to start your life, we will have that window open for you. But if you decide to leave, we want to make sure we honor you for Senior Day because we think you deserve it. So that's why Petway was honored. But then you look at who's coming back. I mean, Chad Lott should get a waiver to come back for a sixth year. They're pretty optimistic he'll get that waiver from the NCAA. And I think with what's happened now, I think it only helps his chances, honestly. You've got transfer sit-outs with DeAndre Ballard. He's a transfer from Florida. He's 6 foot five, 6 foot six, very lengthy, athletic wing. That dude plays like Trey Mitchell, but scores a little bit at a higher clip. Sammy Iorio, who's a transfer from American University, who you probably kind of lose him in the mix a little bit, but I've seen this guy practice. He's unreal. He stands about 6 foot eight. He's bulky. He's about 230. He plays like a wing, but has the body of a center. The guy can bump bodies down low. He can stretch you out on the corners. He's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And then the incoming recruiting class that Richie Riley has coming in is unbelievable. They've got one who's a JUCO kid who's top five in JUCO in the country in scoring per game. They've got one kid from in Oxford, Alabama, who's a freshman who just played in the Mississippi-Alabama All-Star game, who had a tremendous game up there. They've got two other guys, I think it is. They've got a kid from Louisiana who's pretty tall. I think he's about 6 foot 10 or so. So there's a lot of talent, a lot of length, a lot of athleticism, and we saw really down the stretch what a Richie Riley team is really capable of.
Yeah.
I think next year could be scary.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I saw Zondrick Garrett play. He's 6 foot seven from Oxford High School in the Alabama Mississippi All-Star game. And that young man's going to be special. I mean, he came off of the bench and probably scored 15 or 16 points, caught an alley-oop from half court. So he's very athletic, fits into the mold of just being able to be a stretch three. When he puts some weight on, he'll definitely be a very versatile player for Richie Riley. So you're exactly right. The recruiting process has gone very well. It's just going to be a matter of just continuing to find that chemistry. And the thing is, you want to play your best basketball late. And that's exactly what we saw South Alabama do. Now, of course, we'd have loved for them to finish preseason number one and finish number one and be able to declare themselves regular season champions or what have not. But it's all about finishing strong, and that's exactly what this team was able to do. And I think moving forward, Richie Riley was an exceptional hire by Dr. Erdman and continues to bring his enthusiasm to the program.
Oh, 100%. And I love coach's energy because – I mean, you guys have seen, I'm energetic. I'm just a fan with a microphone strapped to my head. But
no, you kill it.
I feed off of the team's energy. And Coach said about mid-January or so, when the Jags were in a little bit of a slump, he said, most good teams reflect the energy of their coach. And we didn't have that at the beginning of the season. We definitely had it at the end of the year. So I think it's looking very good to set up nicely for next year.
So the cancellation of the Sun Belt tournament and then the NCAA tournament, a little shocking. I was really shocked they went ahead and canceled the whole thing, but I don't think I was alone when the NCAA decided to go ahead and cancel the championships for not just those winter sports that were wrapping the year up, but also the spring sports. Had you called any of the softball games before they canceled it?
I had called a total of 10 softball games this season out of their, 22 they had played, yeah.
Any word as of right now, whether – I know they canceled the championships. It looks like a Sun Belt championship. I'm not sure. I know SEC went ahead and canceled their SEC tournament for the end of the year. But is there any word on whether the Sun Belt will try to get any games in at all if the campus lockdowns are lifted?
No, the Sun Belt gave us the word about 4:30 today that effective immediately all team activities are suspended for the rest of the – semester. So no practice, no meetings, no competitions. They can't even do individual workouts on campus. They have to go somewhere else, go back home, do whatever they can to stay in shape. But we're not going to be talking sports at South Alabama until soccer season in mid-August.
And moving forward, I mean, now we're looking at the football season, maybe a spring game cancellation. I would probably see it being canceled as other schools have moved in that direction. But the good thing is construction on the facility hopefully won't be delayed at all. Workers will be able to come and go ahead and finish with the construction because it looks wonderful, the field turf being installed this week as well.
Yes, absolutely. The plan right now is spring football game is indefinitely suspended, canceled, however you want to word it. There's no activities. Now, there might be a window that opens up later in the spring where teams can start practicing, but we don't know what that window is yet. But you mentioned the stadium itself, construction still going on. I think it can continue as long as it's deemed safe. But construction as of today is continuing, and the field looks awesome. The actual turf is down. Vibrant green with red end zones and blue South Alabama, I think, will be in there. It's very similar to the turf that's in the JTC right now.
Wow.
And the press box, obviously, it's been up, but what's great is you're starting to see the lettering go up all around the stadium. Hancock Whitney Stadium is actually up on the top of the press tower. The Mobile County Commission Center for Student Athlete Success is on the name of the North Admin Building on the second story of that. So it's exciting times. It really, you can see the body of the stadium going up, but now with the field down, it really looks like a stadium. It's really cool.
Well, I can't wait. I hope they're able to continue on schedule. JT, thank you so much for joining us tonight, and we'll have to get you on as soon as we get any more news with Sunbelt and South Athletics. Thanks for coming on with us tonight.
Thanks, guys.
That's JT Crabtree, JT Crabtree USA on Twitter. And coming back, we're talking with Micah Roberts, a former Las Vegas sportsbook director.
You're listening to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night. Dalton Orwig and Corey Labounty with you on this Monday night. Thank you to JT Crabtree from South Alabama talking about the premature cancellations of maybe premature is the wrong word. I think they made the right move, but the premature ending to the college basketball seasons and then baseball and softball, just a brutal blow to South Alabama athletics. But I'm really excited about this next guest we have here. I've been following his work on Twitter for a very long time. Micah Roberts, former Las Vegas sportsbook director, and he writes for Vegas Insider and CBS Sportsline now, and I'm sure I'm missing a site or two also. You can follow him on Twitter at MicahRoberts7. Micah, thank you so much for joining us on Sports Night.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So I know you're great on all sports. You write about just about everything, of course, being a former book director. So you know about everything. But I know in NASCAR, you're especially great. I love reading your write-ups before every race. And I guess the big news from NASCAR today, they originally said they were postponing Atlanta and Homestead. And now it looks like it's going through May 3rd at the earliest. And that means no Talladega for us in Alabama, at least coming up in April. And they said they're going to try to complete all 36 races once that ban is lifted. How is that even possible? Would you know?
I don't know how they're going to do it. I know they're going to try. I know that they don't want to lose any more revenue. They're very, I guess everywhere. They just seem to have it prioritized more. And I thought last week when the race was supposed to be at Atlanta and everybody else was canceling, I was like, good for NASCAR. They're standing up. Mm-hmm. They're going to run their race. No fans in the stand. That's great. And I think the push politically and otherwise was so much that they had to. They just had to do it. And I'd be real surprised if they actually end up racing by May 3rd. I think that's a little soon compared to what I'm hearing from all the other leagues. I mean, why, if they're going to wait that long, why not just race now? I mean, mm-hmm. what's the difference? If the CDC says that 8 weeks is what's required and baseball follows it, NBA follows it, and hockey, everybody else does, then, you know, why would NASCAR come back before that date that CDC mentioned?
Yeah, it seems awfully optimistic. And I guess when they initially said they were going to race at Atlanta and in Miami without the fans, it kind of made sense to me. You know, you got one guy in each car, but when you step back and look at it, I guess were there too many people involved with the teams and the staff at the track?
Probably. I think that would be the complaint there. But you know what? I was disappointed in, for my own selfish reasons because, well, I got nothing to write about. And it was at least something that was going to be out there. And, you know, instead of relegating me to have to follow the Turkish soccer leagues and, mm-hmm. you know, Australian rugby and all the things they're finding to bet on here in Las Vegas with no sports for a while.
Right.
But I also was optimistic about the sport of NASCAR creating a new audience because people just like to bet on whatever. Mm-hmm. And on Sundays when they race, there's so many other things to bet on that the average guy that's going to spend $20 a day or $30, you know, a low amount of money, they relegate that money to baseball or basketball or whatever else, and NASCAR doesn't get that concern. But I was thinking just for a brief, I think it was only like, you know, 10 hours from that window where we thought this was going to happen to actually being slowed down and canceled. I thought, you know, this is going to be good for the sport. It's going to open itself up to a lot of new audience. So
yeah.
Maybe they can still do that if they start again before the rest of the sports do, and that can still be the case.
Yeah, and I'm sure they're optimistically hoping for that too. And I guess the sports books all around the world, they had no choice in the matter. They've kind of been slowed down to a crawl, if not completely stopped. But we got word today that the casinos in Mississippi, they're closing until further notice. What's right now, what's it looking like in Vegas? What's the casino situation out there?
Well, so far we've had Wynn and Encore, the two properties that are joined together. They are closing the doors tomorrow of the casino and the hotel. And MGM Resorts, they have a total of 11 properties on the Strip. They are closing their doors, I believe, tonight or tomorrow morning. And that's something that's never happened before in Las Vegas. That's a blow to me. You know, it's been able to survive so many different things happening around the world where Vegas is still a popular destination. They've been able to survive so many different things that scare people, but usually Vegas was never, well, let's go to Vegas, get away from the mess. So we've had fires, we've had floods, we had 9/11, which nobody wanted to travel, so that hurt us for like 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
You've also had the recession, the market crash, the housing crash, and then, of course, the mass murders a couple of years ago by the shooter at the Mandalay Bay. So they have survived. We have survived as an industry forever. So when I see hotels closing down like this, a virus can simply shut down the Las Vegas Strip. That's pretty impactful, and it's something I never thought I'd see in my life outside of, you know, just, you know, a bomb or something hitting Las Vegas or being attacked by some foreign country. It really kind of blows my mind when I sit and reflect on what has just happened in the last 4 or 5 days. I'm a little scared for my city to bounce back.
I hear you. And, you know, something that I don't think any of us have seen in our lifetimes. And obviously, the health of America and the health of the world is of utmost importance. But as we kind of try to, you know, stick to this world of sports and the sports books here, you said you don't have anything to write with NASCAR kind of on hiatus. So what are you spending your time on capping during this wait? Are you getting an early look at college football futures or the NFL? Or what are you going to spend your time on now?
I don't know. I'm writing about not writing. So that was my article I turned in today. you know, just baseball has been a thing. You know, I follow spring training a lot, and players try to identify players, pitchers that might be underpriced when the baseball season starts. So that's something I have to pick up on a little bit and still talk about the teams as, you know, if they start in June or whatever. Just have plenty of previews and stuff available for people to get information on. You know, and the NFL season win totals just came out, so that's something that I can talk about. And, you know, a bunch of trades or free agent signings happening today, so that's topical. I mean, you look at DeAndre Hopkins going to the Cardinals. That's a huge deal. This is a team that defenses could not defend last year with Kingsbury. Just, I don't think he ran one play twice the whole entire year. I mean, the game plan for this guy is really difficult, and he had a quarterback ideal that was able to make things happen. And so getting Hopkins in there, confident receiver, one of the best, if not the best in the game, putting him alongside Larry Fitzgerald, which will probably be his last year, and then a guy that really came on his own last year with Christian Kirk. I don't see many defenses being able to stop this Cardinals offense.
Yeah, I saw a lot of people saying today that even in a fantasy football trade, that would almost be enough to get you kicked out of the league if you traded David Johnson for DeAndre Hopkins. What's Bill O'Brien thinking? I mean, how does he keep sticking around through all this? I mean, he's made move after move, and he didn't even get a first round pick for either Hopkins or who was it he traded in the last season? Was it It just seems like his trades. Yeah, Clowney, thank you. And everybody seems to be thinking, what's Bill O'Brien doing right now?
I mean, with a guy like Hopkins, I know you want to get something for him, but I mean, David Johnson, let's face it, I mean, he was Fantasy Player of the Year like 4 years ago. I mean, that chip has sailed. Right. He is not the same player that he once was, and is not as valuable as he is, but for some reason, I guess the Cardinals are like, well, look what he did when he got all these carries and touches. Like, he was almost MVP of the league. You gotta want that guy. And I think they got duped. I really do. Because, you know, wide receivers like Hopkins in his prime are hard to come by. And he's not like one of those guys like OBJ where he's me guy. Look what I did. Look at my shoes. Look at my wristwatch. Look at everything I'm doing. Look at everything. LSU, look at me. I was LSU. I'm OBJ. I mean, that's all he does. He's just a self-centered person that has made no team better because of him. That probably has made teams worse because of him. Mm-hmm. And I hate to come down on him like that, but it's just in a reflection of how contrary to the player that Hopkins is. He is not that guy. He's a total team player. And if I'm the quarterback, Deshaun Watson, at some point I got to be really upset with my team and coach for taking away my right hand.
NFL draft coming up. They're talking about in Vegas. Definitely no fans will be allowed. But predictions on or wagers on who may be the first draft pick. Will it be Joe Burrow? Will it not? Will Tua go to the Dolphins? Will he go to the Redskins? There's interesting information coming out now that Tua is healthy. What team will actually draft Tua? So I know there's been a lot of movement just trying to see in regards to how many Alabama players will be drafted in the first round as well.
How many you got? I mean, it seems like it's the same cycle every year. They just rebuild. It's full of Alabama and Ohio State. This is just the era that we're in now. And you know, it's great to see, and it's nice, because remember that time when, you know, you couldn't quite trust Alabama running backs coming out? And this is before Saban, but some the Richardson, you know, I mean, what happened, you know? And you look back, like Bobby Humphrey, he was supposed to be the best thing ever. Mm-hmm. And he had one good year with them, but then you have all these running backs over time that just really haven't accelerated, and they're kind of over that now. And they're now fully trusted. NFL, like, fully trusted. This is one thing you can guarantee, that the Alabama players are going to perform very well at the next level. And that's, you know, kind of the way things are. That's why they get the best recruits. And same thing with the Buckeyes, same type of situation there. You know, they're going to keep getting the top players drafted. I don't see how the Bengals could not take Joe Burrow. I mean, you're talking about an Ohio kid from, you know, Southeast Ohio, Bengals, local kid, makes good Heisman championship. I mean, the passes and the accuracy he makes rolling out on the run and being able to run, I don't know if I've seen a prospect come out and, you know, people always say, oh, John Elway, he was the best prospect, Matt Stafford, Troy Aikman, whatever. But I've never seen somebody come out of college football so ready for the NFL and ready immediately to make good things happen in Joe Burrow. So I think it'd be a mistake for them to take anybody else.
And, you know, before this whole free agency thing got started this weekend, and thank God that the NFL, in my opinion, decided to go ahead and go through with free agency and stay on schedule, they signed that big new 10-year CBA. And, of course, a lot of changes in that document that they signed. But I think the most notable for fans is obviously the switch from 12 to 14 playoff teams, which they're saying might begin this season, and then the 17-game regular season, which will begin next year. How does that shift the season-long odds for teams? What's the big changes that are going to be made at the sports books?
Not a lot. They just have, you got more possibilities of making the playoffs, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you have to adjust your, you know, because right now all the season win totals and stuff like that are based on 16 games. So you're going to obviously have to adjust that and do the math to figure out based on what teams are playing, because the whole rotation has to change, right? So, you know, we're used to this rotation we're dealing with right now. With every year, the schedule's set, we just throw in the dates.
Right.
And it completely changes now a little bit. I don't think it's just a minor tweak. I think they have to do a lot of other things to match up, you know, AFC versus NFC teams. Is it the division you're playing? Because that was nice and easy. You could just throw four teams in the, you know, four different teams in another division and say there's our AFC, NFC matchups. But I think it's going to go a little deeper than that. So people will figure it out. And, right. You know, and just you throw it out there and you let somebody else tell you that you're wrong and you move the number and go again until the number's right. When they stop betting it, then you know you're right.
Easy enough, right?
Yep.
And, you know, I'm seeing more talk about load management too, though, with this extra game and trying to keep legs fresh. But to me, there's always a lot of talk before the season, and then once it comes game time, each game is still so important that that the players end up suiting up and that they wouldn't have it any other way. You think there's any chance we see some load management, to steal the term from the NBA?
Not in the way that NBA has completely abused it and gotten away with it with no repercussions. I mean, it's disgusting to see. If you're a kid and you're in Memphis and your favorite player is LeBron James and you only get to see him once a year live, and he decided to sit out because he played last night in Milwaukee or something. You know, I mean, that's just atrocious. And several players are doing it. I mean, minor injuries, it's like, it doesn't matter. I'm not wasting my talents on an injury for no reason. But in the NFL, it's you're going to shorten the preseason, so you don't have those to worry about. And every game is going to be important. So if you got guys saying, I need a break or rest, that's not going to fly well with the rest of the players. And another thing is, there were 550 players, I believe, that did not even vote on the agreement. And it was very close. I think it was 100 vote differential between. And those players that did not vote or care have no say-so now, because they didn't even read it and didn't even place their vote. So I'd like to have some of those guys identified that don't care about what's going on in their contracts and what's going to happen to them the next few years. That's a horrible thing to see.
It's interesting. My theory is that they're afraid of getting beat up by the Pouncey brothers. That's one theory. They were going to vote no on it, and then the Pouncey brothers. And before we let you go, Mike, I got to get your take. Obviously, the biggest fish in free agency, maybe ever. I don't know in the history books, but Tom Brady hits free agency for the first time ever and looked like the Titans might be in on him with the Vrabel connection, and they re-signed Tannehill. So now I'm hearing Bucks, maybe Chargers, New England. Do you have any ideas on where you think Brady might end up?
I think he should just stay right where he's at. I mean, he's not getting any younger. He's got everything catered to him. The coaches know everything he's good at, everything he's not. And he knows everything. He knows what he can get away with, what he can't. So changing, like, at the end of your career like this, I believe the Patriots ought to pay him. I mean, they've already always taken advantage of him by taking his money and deferring it and paying it back later. And he's always been the team guy to get better players on the team and the free agency. But they got to pay him. I mean, I'm sorry. Eventually, after all these Super Bowls and everything that he's done, I think he's just feeling like he's not appreciated as much as he should be. And they're probably going to take a quarterback in this draft, which is another thing. It's like, okay, do this, all right. But Tampa Bay is not ready, and that is not a good football team. I mean, they can put some points on the board with Arians, but they are not a good football team. And the Chargers, it's not just quarterback that was their problem last season. It's protecting the quarterback.
Right.
And Brady is... You know, he's a guy that doesn't hold the ball long, but I too many things going. I think the biggest splash would have been the Raiders, you know, opening in Las Vegas and making that like a really big statement. That would have been a great story, but I don't believe that's happening. So, no, he should just stay in New England. And the odds on that, I haven't seen anything updated today, But he was like minus 150 to stay in New England before the Tannehill announcement.
I'm with you. Brady to the Raiders would have been a whole lot of fun with that new stadium out there in Vegas. Micah, we really appreciate you coming on with us on Sports Night tonight. Where can people follow you and get your work?
You can follow me on Twitter, MicahRoberts7, and also VegasInsider.com and CBS Sportsline and Gaming Today in Las Vegas.
All right, great stuff. And take it from someone who's read and put Micah's articles to use plenty of times. You got great stuff up there.
Hey, you know what, guys? And you guys are going to have a lot of empty dead time, so I'll be happy to come on anytime you like.
Hey, we'll hold you to that. Micah Roberts, former Vegas sportsbook director, a man who knows more about sports than most people, and just a great thing to get him on tonight. And we'll come back. We'll wrap up Sports Night, tell you what's going on the SEC. Did you see this, Corey? The SEC Network takeover? I know your boys were on TV all day today. I'll give you the rest of the schedule coming up, and we'll talk more about some of these cancellations. You're listening to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5 with Dalton Orwig and Corey LeBound.
You're listening to FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Orwig and Corey LeBounty. Call the show or text your thoughts to 251-343-0106.
All right, wrapping up FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night. Big thank you to JT Crabtree with South Alabama and Micah Roberts with Sportsline and Vegas Insider. You can follow him on Twitter at JT Crabtree USA and at Micah Roberts 7. Now, Corey, we were talking about what are we going to do with all this extra time without sports, and checking out that Saturdays Down South, the history of the SEC on ESPN. But the SEC Network takeover in full effect these next couple weeks. And your boys, they got their chance today, Alabama. And I guess you'll see probably Alabama the rest of the 2 weeks, too, since they're so good at football, right? But tomorrow you got Arkansas, Auburn on Wednesday for all you War Eagle fans, Florida Thursday, Georgia Friday, Kentucky Saturday. I don't know how they have enough program. They must be just doing basketball on Saturday. LSU on Sunday, Ole Miss Monday, Mississippi State Tuesday, Missouri Wednesday, South Carolina Thursday, the big boys, Tennessee next Friday, Texas A&M next Saturday, and then they finish it off with Vanderbilt next Sunday, which I guess will be a bunch of Jay Cutler games. I don't know.
It will be interesting to see. No, their baseball team wins the national championship, so you can there always you go back.
And bowling.
And bowling. So I know my mom will be happy to watch those particular sports. You know, at times you do shine, and they have. Coach Mason's had a couple of good wins. But, you know, Dalton, in all seriousness, with all the cancellations, I mean, you're talking about March Madness turning to March Sadness. No NBA, no golf, no hockey, no tennis, no anything. You can turn to us, because we're going to find those stories and talk to those people who are involved and who it has affected in these upcoming months, for sure.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about, and we're going to talk NFL draft a lot coming up over these next few weeks, and more. We'll try to get some Auburn voices on, some Alabama voices, and keep this thing rolling during the whole suspension of sports, which is something no one ever saw coming. And that does it for us tonight. This is Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5 with Dalton Orwig and Corey LeBounty.